talking to Senator Mike Lee of Utah, and the last ditch effort, the last chance we have before this thing comes in, Obamacare, to stop it, to stop the parts that the president, that the Obama administration is willing to enforce anyway, certain parts they aren't. Senator, talk about how difficult it is to reform or change an entitlement once it is in place. We've only done it once. That was in 1988, I believe, the year, or 1986, somewhere in there, with the Medicare catastrophic. What it took was senior citizens hurling themselves literally on the hood of the car of Congressman Dan Rostenkowski. There was an uproar over it. But once something is in place, the rhetoric changes of, you know, you're taking things away from people. And people who don't pay taxes, by and large, and people who don't understand that taxes are being taken out of their paycheck, get used to a benefit that they think is free. How difficult would it be for us who want this repealed to do it if you guys don't act on this continuing resolution?
Well, it's really difficult. And, you know, these things are difficult to quantify, but needless to say, it's much more difficult to stop these things before they're implemented than it is after. It's some would say it's next to impossible to stop them, to reverse them, once they've opened themselves up. You referred to one exception to that back during the late 80s, but that one is rare, where you had a type of entitlement program that was so deeply and obviously flawed that it created a really significant populist revolt, and that caused Congress to act quickly. One could argue that we're likely to see that with Obamacare because this thing is so poorly designed. I don't want to take the chance because one way or another, this is going to be bad for the American people, and we shouldn't have to force them into a position where it's so bad and so many people are suffering under it that they have to have that kind of revolt. We know it's bad right now, and we have an obligation to stop it.
Right. We can avoid being hit by the train rather than sorting it out afterwards. The president of the United States went around in 2008 and up until this bill was passed, promising left and right, and I'm not going to play it, but I have at least 15 clips on 15 different days of the president promising that this bill would, his plan would lower Americans' premiums at an average of $2,500 per family. That promise has not been kept. That is not true. And the Weekly Standard is reporting today that HHS itself, on the promise of if you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep them, their own website says, depending on the plan you choose in the marketplace, you may be able to keep your doctor. There's an interesting qualifier in that now. Is there any promise that was made that has been kept with this?
You know, if there is, it's almost an accident and an exception. But the point is that the major promises upon which the salesmanship plan of this bill was based has all proven to be misplaced. And, you know, we were told that it would make healthcare more affordable and more fair. We found out that it will make it less affordable, and especially now last week, we've learned that it is even less fair than we thought it was going to be. Because the president's now saying, yeah, we're gonna hold individuals to the line established by Obamacare, meaning we're going to penalize them if they don't buy that kind of health insurance that Congress says they have to buy. But the corresponding requirement on employers is going to be waived, at least for the first year. Mm-hmm. They don't have to comply. That means, you know, if you're a big wealthy corporation, you can afford lobbyists and you have connections with the White House, you can get relief. But if you don't, if you're just a hardworking American, you're going to get penalized by the government. That's fundamentally unfair, and we can't tolerate that.
No, and what the president's decision on the employer mandate does is it creates a perverse incentive to accelerate companies dropping coverage, because instead of paying, they would have paid, say, $12,000 to $15,000 for a family of four or five in health insurance. They can drop that, and they would have incurred a $2,000 to $3,000 fine, which is now waived for a year. So they get a net plus of $15,000 to $18,000, and you as an individual still have to you still have to pay for it. I don't think people understand that, people who get their insurance through their employer, that if they lose that, that doesn't mean they go without insurance. That means they inherit a hefty, hefty bill.
That's right. That's right. And because of the estimated increase in premiums, some have suggested that even for those who qualify for the subsidies from the government under the exchanges, many of those people will themselves find themselves paying more for health insurance after this law kicks in
What do
than
you
they did
make of the
before.
idea of the White House waiving the verification of income in order to get those subsidies and sort of doing it on an honor system? We hear politicians, particularly the president, talk about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse. This just opens up the treasury and sort of makes people look the other way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So it'll create an honor system. And, you know, I think a lot of Americans will choose to be honest.
I
hope most will. But undoubtedly, some will attempt to game the system. Undoubtedly, there will be a time in the near future when people will be able to perform a simple Google search to figure out exactly what the sweet spot is to list as their income. You want it to be high enough that you're not put onto Medicaid, but low enough that you're eligible for the maximum subsidy from the government. And that's going to be resulting in rampant fraud. This within a framework where you'll have the IRS is the chief regulatory body of these things. The IRS is hardly a competent agency when it comes to weeding out waste, fraud, and abuse, as it's been estimated that we've got something like $12 or $13 billion annually that is fraudulently spent in the earned income tax credit area. So this is a big, huge problem, and every American, liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, ought to be concerned.
They should. And we've got a quote here from a hearing this week up on the Hill from the administrator, the head of Medicare and Medicaid Services, Marilyn Tavner, said, "I want to assure you and all Americans that when they fill out their health insurance marketplace application, they can trust the information they're providing is protected. As we've seen recently, the IRS isn't very good at keeping things that are supposed to be confidential, confidential."
No, they're not good at it at all. That's not to say that most of the people in the IRS aren't well-educated and well-intentioned individuals. But the fact is, given what we know about human nature and what happens to human nature when you give people access to a lot of very personal, private, sensitive information, sooner or later it's going to be abused. And when it is abused, it's going to be really, really bad.
Yes.
We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends. Let's not replay it.
Last question, Senator Mike Lee. The administration's magic wand that they've used three times thus far on Obamacare, on the nursing home aspect, the honor system reporting, and now the employer mandate, the unwillingness or the willingness of the administration to sort of ignore laws that they themselves passed, not just, you know, past administrations. Has that given any of your colleagues who were fence-sitting or maybe voted for immigration reform pause to say, maybe we do need some more teeth in here, and if the Senate bill were up again, they might think differently this time?
Yes, it certainly has given pause to a number of my colleagues who recognize that our authority as the legislative branch has been severely diminished. This is the biggest reason why I decided to write my new ebook, Why John Roberts Was Wrong About Healthcare, which you can buy on Amazon for $3.79. It's a quick read, and it just explains the fact that Obamacare, as it's now on the books, is not the same Obamacare statute even that Congress passed without reading it. It's been rewritten not once but twice by the Supreme Court, which really distorted its judicial function and usurped a distinctively legislative function. And that, in turn, has now set the predicate for the president now to insert his own amendments into Obamacare, not just once, but twice. This is wrong. This is lawless. It's something that every American ought to be concerned about. And the bottom line is, people in Congress who are concerned about Obamacare, who are concerned about the rule of law, need to refuse to vote for any continuing resolution or other appropriations measure that funds further implementation and enforcement of Obamacare.
Senator Mike Lee, constitutional hero. You're one of my favorites. I just got the signed book from you yesterday from a friend of mine, Brian Phillips, who works for you. I appreciate you signing that. The new ebook, Why John Roberts Was Wrong About Healthcare, $3.79. You'd make money buying it. You'd be crazy not to get it. Senator Lee, keep up the good fight, and if, you know, they won't enforce it, why should we pay for it? I appreciate your time, sir.
Amen. Hey, thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Take care.